I want to pretend this morning, you know, just for a little bit. I want to pretend like I'm John in the Bible when he was 90 years old. I kind of feel like I'm closer to 90. But I want to talk to you today as a father talking to the children, because that's kind of like the book of 1 John. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 17. John chapter 17. We often ask people, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? I know the Lord. I know the Lord from back in 1960, September, on a Friday. I trusted Christ as my Savior. So I know the Lord. I will say that it's taken me almost 60 years to really know the Lord. I knew Him from the day I trusted Him as my Savior. But to get to really know the Lord, it's taken me almost 60 years. I think I know Him better today than I did 60 years ago. And that's a little bit about what I want to talk to you about. Here in John chapter 17, if you'll look there in verse 1, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. See, it's a two-way street. Glorify Me so that I can glorify You. Jesus has glorified us so that we may glorify Him. And the Bible says that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And then He also makes a statement in 1 Thessalonians concerning the people that we reach for the Lord. Ye are my crown of rejoicing. Ye are my joy. You are my glory. The people we win to the Lord. The Bible says that ye bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified. So we're here to give glory to God, our Heavenly Father. And the people that we win to the Lord is one of the ways that we glorify the Father. Because He gets glory from those people who trust Christ as their Savior. So the greatest thing you and I can be about is telling people the most important message in the world by that glorious gospel about how to have the glory, the perfection. Because He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here in this verse, He says this in verse 2. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. All flesh, there is made up of believers and unbelievers. And He says that, according to this verse, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Now, there is a good little note of explanation here in the church Bible that's in front of you if you don't have one. Or in your Bible, if you look down at number 3, at the bottom of the page, 7 times Jesus speaks of believers as given to Him by the Father. Jesus Christ is God's love gift to the world. That's a beautiful statement. And then He says, and believers are the Father's love gift to Jesus Christ. In other words, what does Jesus get out of this? In the second Psalm, it talks about we are His inheritance. This is what He gets because of what He does. And then He makes the statement here, it is Christ who commits the believer to the Father for safekeeping. So there is your security. And the Father says he'll never cast us out and never lose us, and none can take us out of his hand. But the day will come when we will be presented to the Son. That's why in John chapter 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then he says here, so that the believer's security rests upon the Father's faithfulness to his Son Jesus Christ. Now, God had promised that he would justify the heathen through faith. And the Son had to come and make the payment for the sins of the world so that God the Father could keep his word. Do you realize that Jesus had not come and was not faithful to do the will of the Father, that the Father could not have saved anybody? There would be no salvation. But he did come. Now look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know God is to have eternal life. And you can't have eternal life unless you know God. And you can only know God through the Son. And that's why he says in John 14, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So why ask, show us the Father? Show us God. Look at Jesus, and you'll see God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you really want to know God, is revealed in your walk with the Heavenly Father. You see, you can know God through Jesus Christ when you trusted him as your Savior. But I wrote a little note down. To really know God is revealed in your walk with your Heavenly Father. If you never learn to walk with the Lord, you'll never understand God. You'll never see why he does what he does. You'll not be able to discern the character of God. And there's a lot of descriptions and attributes concerning the character of God. And you'll learn those in your life by walking with God and seeing what God will do for you, through you, and to you. So it's an important thing. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John and chapter 1. 1 John in chapter 1. And notice what the disciple here is saying when he makes the statement about our walk with God, our fellowship with the Lord. You see, it was one thing that they knew him here in the flesh, but they also learned about God, the way God is. You notice in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So these are things that are written so that people's joy could be full. There's great joy in knowing, truly knowing, intimately knowing God, your Heavenly Father. There's things about God you will never understand unless you walk with him. You may be his child, you'll go to heaven when you die. But until you learn how to walk with the Lord, you'll always hear me saying, I don't care what's going on in your life, the Lord will walk you through it until he takes you home. It may be you got cancer, finances, social. I don't care what the problem may be. There is no problem that you have greater than your God to deliver you. And the way he may deliver you out of all of your problems is he might take you home. Don't fear death. It was amazing that while I was in the hospital, I had some people send me some funnies. And out of about 10 funnies, every last one of them dealt with death. That really encouraged me. But anyway, I didn't die. I'm not dead yet. May come tomorrow. But this is a very important verse. Now take your Bible and look in 1 John chapter 2. So here you're talking about the fellowship that you have with the Lord during your life. Fellowship is like two fellows in a ship. going in the same way. You and God, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so chapter 2, and there's two verses here I want to bring to your attention. Verse 9, where it says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Look up here very quickly. When we are born into this world, this is the flesh that walks in the dark. It doesn't have the light of God, doesn't know. He's lost. This is a person with a sinful nature. We all sin. So whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, God doesn't change this birth. He gave you a new birth, which is the Holy Spirit living within you. You have a new spiritual birth. These are separate from each other. This one walks in the light. This one walks in the flesh, in the dark. So if you tell God in other people, if you believe that you're walking in the light, but you're bringing forth the works of the flesh, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. So he says here, if you say you're in the light, doesn't mean it's true. You're saying it though. You're believing something that's not true. And you hate your brother. Well, hate, does that come from the new birth or does that come from the old birth? That comes from this one. So that means you're lying. You're not walking with the Lord. You're not fellowshipping with the Lord. You're walking in the flesh. So 1 John is to help us to see how we're walking, how we're doing. You see, John, when he was young, was probably one of the youngest disciples. And he was the one that loved the Lord, and he was always the one that was leaning on his breast. And he talks about how he was the one whom he loveth. And he's always writing about love. John is a book on love. And 1 John is another book on love. But it's to the believer on how to judge for himself, to discern things in his life. And that's why I want you to see the verse 10. Because you see in verse 10 he said, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light," or darkness, the light. So that means you're walking in truth. You're walking in the light. You're walking according to the new birth. See, God has fellowship with you. And then he says this, "And there is none occasion of," and you ought to underline these three words, "none occasion of stumbling in him." Remember, we're talking about a walk with God, not a step. 1 John 1, 9 is a step. It is not the walk. When you cease to walk with God because you choose to walk in the flesh, confessing your sins is you acknowledging, "Lord, I'm walking in the flesh." Confessing that, owning up to the truth, you can now walk in the Spirit. But confessing your sin is not the walk. It's to enable you to walk with God. It doesn't make you spiritual. It's so that you can be spiritually minded by minding the Spirit, minding the truth of the Word of God. So we acknowledge this is why you need to learn discernment in the Word of God, so that you can judge clearly between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. So the book of 1 John is to help us not to fall, because if you don't stumble, you won't fall. And so the way to keep from stumbling is to walk in the light or darkness. So that light means walking according to the new birth that God gave to you. And so this is very, very important. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 8. The book of Hebrews in chapter 8. This is a reference, believe it or not, in the book of Hebrews, to the Hebrews in the Old Testament. And in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 31, talks about they will not stumble. They will not stumble because they're going to walk with the Lord. Not everybody is going to walk with the Lord. But when you don't walk in the light according to the truth, well, then you're going to stumble. And when you stumble, you're going to fall. And when you fall, you can't be walking with God. And so you need to learn to discern for yourself. So here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 8, I want you to look there in verse 10. This is a reference to an Old Testament covenant. And there is a covenant that demanded righteousness. And the failure to produce this righteousness of the law produced death. Temporary, you were dead. You died. They'd stone you to death. You didn't keep the law and the sacrifice. It means the shortness of your life. But if you can't do that and prohibit physical death, how are you going to produce this spiritual life? Grace is always the way a man is saved. So he says here in verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Now that part of the verse is also quoted in the book of Revelation when he says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And he goes down and he says, "And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." A fulfillment of a promise that he made way back in the book, the Old Testament. And here, referring to it again. And he says here in verse 11, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother." Why? They were not going to have to say, "Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord?" Because they all will know the Lord. See the last part of the verse? From the least to the great, they're all going to know him. The day is coming when everybody will live for all eternity because we know the Lord. That's what knowing God gets for us. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got a free pass into eternity to be with the Lord. And God became your Father. You became His child. "And I will be to them their God, our Father. And we shall be His people." And that's why we're called the children of God. Beloved, we are the children of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That day is coming. And see in verse 11, "And they that shall not teach that know the Lord, for all shall see me." Now it's one thing to know the Lord and know that you have eternal life, because to know him is to have eternal life. And if you don't have eternal life, you don't know the Lord. All the religions of the world, if they don't know they have eternal life, they don't know God. And they don't believe what Jesus Christ said. Because Jesus says, if you believe, you have everlasting life. So if you believe, what are you supposed to have? And if you don't know you have everlasting life, then you don't believe what he said. And that's important to remember. Very, very important. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now you'll see parts of these verses referred to in the Gospel of John. And it also, especially in the 15th chapter of John. And as you read through the book of 1 John, you'll notice a word that'll stand out, kind of slaps you upside the head. The word to know. 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 We know. We know. We know. We know. Well, in order to know that this is true, and know this is true, and know this is true, and know and know and know, he kind of puts all of it hinging upon the greatest foundation. That if you can believe God about this, and know this is true, then you can know that this and this and this and this and this is also true. If I know that if I trust Christ as my Savior and he gives me eternal life, and I can take God at his word for that, then why can't I take God's word that he will never leave me and never forsake me? And that regardless of what I go through, he will see me through. And that whatever suffering that I may have to go through, it will be worth it all. Because you see, I have a great foundational truth. See there in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, look at it. These things have I written unto you that keep the Ten Commandments and obey the golden rule and go to Calvary Community Church. Is that what it says? No, these things have I written unto you that believe. So that means if it's written to those that believe, then it must be something every believer should know. Because he wrote it to those that believe. Now, if you believe, then you should know this. Look what you're supposed to know. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, whether or not that's a reference to a mixed audience or not, in case somebody else, it's believers should know they have eternal life. And the lost man should know he can have eternal life if he believes. But notice the next verse. This is the what? You ought to circle this word. Confidence. This is the confidence. What's the confidence? If you can know that you have eternal life, and if you can believe that, what God said, then we as God's children ought to believe everything else that He has to say with that. Don't you agree? So let me ask you this. What was the greatest problem you have ever had in your whole life? The greatest problem, your greatest need. And think all the way to the end of your life. And when you died, where was you going? You were on your way to hell. Now, regardless of what happened in the period of time that you live, whether it's 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, it doesn't matter how long you lived, your greatest problem was where were you going when you died? Now, if God can take care of your biggest need, your greatest problem that you've ever faced so far in your whole life, can He take care of all the little stuff in between? If God can give me eternal life, can I trust Him to give me a hamburger from day to day? Poor God, He's bankrupt. He has no means to take care of me. I've got a heavenly Father who has forsaken me. Do you believe that God knows everything that's going to happen to His children? What you're going through? You know, I thought it was really bad that day that I went in and had that surgery and thought, God didn't know about this. God didn't know I was going to have to go through this. Because, you know, if He really loved me, if He really loved me, He wouldn't let this happen to me. I mean, He knows that I like to sing and now I can't sing. He knows that I like to do the wallet illustration, but He lifted my hand all the way up and now I can only go here. Boy, I wish God knew that ahead of time. But you see, God doesn't know everything. He can't do everything. And you'd be surprised at how you'll feed your mind with questions and doubts. I try to tell the college kids, feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. But if you don't, you're going to feed your doubts and your faith will starve to death. So how are you doing? Learn this. Now, you'll notice in verse 14, this is the confidence. See, 5:13 is to give us confidence to believe what else He has said in the book of 1 John. He said that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now that's mentioned also in the book of John in chapter 14. Whatsoever you ask my Father in my name, I will give it to you. But the confidence of you to doing that is based upon, do you really believe that you have eternal life? Because you took God at His word. And now you know that you're saved, know you're going to heaven when you die. Well, then believe this. God hasn't stopped loving you just because you trusted Christ as Savior. God hasn't taken a vacation. God is intricately involved in your life, whether you see Him or not. And He's bringing things into your life and taking things out of your life because He's building your character because He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to love Him more than the love of the world. And that's why in chapter 2, He talks about the love of the Father. And if you love the world, then that means you don't love Him. And He's going to reveal these things to you. And so that's why He lets you have all the problems, because He's trying to get you to get closer to Him. He hasn't forsaken you. He knows who you are. He knows how you hurt. He knows what you go through. And God will do what He promised. You see, when He talks about there, whatsoever, if. Notice what He says in 1 John chapter 3. Look in verse 19. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. Hereby we what? We know. You see, we know. How do we know that? Because God keeps His word. God promised. Well, what if I don't believe what God says? And I begin to question and doubt. Well, that's why He says up there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. Look what He says in verse 10. Because throughout this 1 John, He talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is within you. The Holy Spirit that is to lead you. The one that to give you this spiritual joy that you're supposed to have. He says in verse 10, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What is this witness that He has inside of me? See, I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is to teach us truth. The Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit never teaches you a lie. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead you astray. The Holy Spirit doesn't desert you and leave you. We're sealed until the day of redemption, till we get our new body. That's how secure we are, and we ought to believe what God's Word has to say. And then He says in verse 10, He that believeth not God hath made him what? Made him a liar. You know, that's also found in 1 John in chapter 1. Look what He says there. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him what? This is to the believer. The believer calling God a liar. Because when you begin to question and doubt God, you're saying, God, I don't believe you. You can't take care of me. See, God may want to give you the peace, the love, the joy. He may not send you finances. You see, between you and Him, that's more important. That you don't start questioning and doubting your Heavenly Father because you didn't get what you wanted. You're not as healthy as you would like to be. You don't have the friend maybe you'd like to have. You'd be surprised in this life how many things can go wrong, go wrong, go wrong, go wrong. But God's never done you wrong. God has never failed you. God doesn't lie to you. God doesn't deceive you. God doesn't tempt you. You say, how do you know all of that? Because He said so. He said so. And you'd be surprised how your life can be filled with questions and doubts. And as a child of God, you'll never get to know God personally. He is more real to me than the clothes I've got on my back. And He ought to be real to you. That you know, regardless of what comes, what happens, instead of griping and grumbling and murmuring and complaining, put a smile on your face. Isn't it great to be alive and have a Father like I've got? I got a Father that'll never leave me. And He wants the best for me. So evidently, at this point in my life, this must be very good for me, and I can learn something from this. I can get closer to the Lord than I was before. Maybe I'll understand that these old bodies are not really going to last forever. And I need to be more careful. You'd be surprised. You can learn something from everything that you've gone through. Look what else He says here. Here in the book of 1 John, in chapter 3, I want you to look back there in verse 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Because you see, assure your hearts talking about your conscience. Because you believe what God says. It affects what you do and what you say. That's mentioned up there in verse 18, my little children. He said, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because you know the truth and you believe the truth. And that's why that's important. So then He makes the statement here in verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, because we ourselves know I'm not walking with God like I should. I'm walking in the flesh and I'm deceiving myself. But your conscience bothers you when you do that which you know you shouldn't do. When you begin to question and doubt God and it bothers you. That's your conscience. But if you can bring this guilt upon yourself, what do you think God knows? See the last part of that verse? Where it says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. We only know a little bit. But I do want you to know this. I want you just to turn in your Bible. Well, let's look at this one verse here before I do close unto chapter 2. And here in verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we, and here's that word we're wanting, confidence before God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the great comforter, but He's also a great discomforter when you don't believe what He said, when you begin to question and doubt the Word of God. This book will not let you down. Trust the Lord. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord longer than I have, but I'm telling you, in all these years, He's never failed me. He's never always given me everything that I want. But of what I'm talking about, He's given me the confidence, the courage, the boldness that I need to continue looking to Him and trusting Him. Because I know what His Word says. And I want God's blessings upon my life. And I believe every child of God should want and desire that. Now look there in chapter 2. In chapter 2. And look in verse 20. See, confidence comes from knowing and trusting in the truth. In John 17, where we were in verse 17, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. If there's anything you should learn in the days that you live, is learn truth, the word of God. And you'd be surprised how that, yes, your conscience can be your guide if your conscience knows the truth and you can discern. But look what he says in verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. It means the Holy Spirit that lives within you is to teach you all things, everything you need to know about truth. That's why the world cannot teach you truth. It teaches you the wisdom of the world. But there's the wisdom of God that comes from above. There's the wisdom of man that comes from below. And many people search for the wisdom of this world, and you and I, as God's children, are to seek the wisdom that comes from God. And so, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. is an interesting portion of Scripture that kind of helps us to understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life. And the Holy Spirit doesn't magnify the Holy Spirit. It magnifies Christ, it magnifies God Himself. So there's things that we're supposed to learn. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, look in verse 9. In verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. Do you see the next couple words? Them that what? That love Him. You see, there's things you can know if you love Him. And God says, those who love Me, I will make Myself known unto him. John chapter 14, also 16. God will reveal things to you, teach you things because you love Him. Now, nobody can make you love God. And a lot of Christians go through life and they're always like they've been baptized in pickle juice. Never happy, never satisfied, always complaining about something. But don't forget about Jonah. He was down in the mouth. He came out all right. Now, we're looking here at this verse. In verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, those who love the Lord. God has revealed things to us. Not everybody always knows exactly the same thing. People are at different points in their Christian life. Some of you have learned some great lessons that other people haven't learned yet. But then they've learned some lessons you probably haven't learned. This is why loving each other and sharing with each other, we learn from each other. Because everybody is sooner or later going to face the same things in life. here in verse 10. God hath revealed them unto us by what? Mad Magazine, CNN, Hollywood. Revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God searcheth all things. He can discern all things, knows all things. And He's the one who wants to teach us discernment so that we can make better decisions in our life. Understanding how to judge ourselves. Am I living in the Spirit or am I living in the flesh? Am I walking in light according to truth? Or am I walking in the flesh according to darkness? Can I discern the difference in my life? Or do you just do whatever you want to do and call it the will of God? You see, a lot of people, they commit a lot of sin by praying. Well, I prayed about it. I prayed about it. And then they do whatever they want to do. So, well, I prayed about it. That doesn't mean that God gave His approval upon you to do something that's totally contrary to the Word of God. So notice what He says now in verse 11. When He says in verse 10 there, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. This is after you're saved. There's things that God wants to teach all of His children, deeper truths that makes your life more precious to you and God more precious to you, and the experiences of life where you get more out of life and you can put more into life. But people who walk in darkness can't see. They don't understand. They stumble and they fall and they go astray. Why waste your whole life? You only got one time to do it right. You don't get another chance. Just one trip through life, no replays, no... Just one trip. And don't you want to get it right? Don't you want to serve the Lord with all your heart? Why, you can? Because one of these days, some of y'all that are younger, you're going to get old like me. Take that. If you live as long as I have. And I'm not that old. Just look old. I just feel old. And the longer I live, the older I feel. I asked Steve back there last week, I says, does it make me look younger or older? He says, older. I says, well, at least now I look my age. But anyway, look at this next verse. In verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know. There's so much more that God wants you to know. Why do you think we want young people to go to Bible college? So they can know the truth. So they know what God said. So they can make better decisions for their life. So they got good discernment. Most of the time, you know, church on Sunday morning, people, that's haphazard. Sometimes don't come on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just whenever you want to do it. And so you're not going to learn the things that you could have learned. So you're not going to do and accomplish what you could have accomplished. It's impossible. Because you cannot live above the truth of the Word of God without knowing the truth of the Word of God. You've got to know it. And most people have never learned the Word of God. Because you're not going to get enough on an hour on a Sunday morning to keep you going all week long. It won't happen. Your life's going to be pretty much just the way it's always been. Don't you sense that nothing's happening in your life? That you're just totally bored with all of it? Because you are not really close to the Lord. It doesn't really make any difference whether I go or if I'm not, if I'm involved or if I'm not. It's a, you know, happenstance. Or is there a burning in your heart? I want to know God more. I want Him to be rich to me, precious to me. I want to do something with my life that God wants me to accomplish because time is short. We have no guarantee on life. The longer I live, the more I realize that. Now notice what He says. In verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, But he said to know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Are there words that man's wisdom teaches? Yes, there are. And the Bible says to beware of the philosophy of man. Stay away from it. God has given us what we need to guide our lives. But you see, most people don't believe that as long as I got my little pinkies inside the pearly gates, that's all I need to know. It's not all you need to know. Just think what knowing that you have eternal life did for you. What if you knew the rest? What if you could discern other things that God has for you? Totally change your life. And you'd have a different reason why you're living. What is your real purpose in living? To get. And everything you get, you're going to lose. Or is it because you want to do what God wants you to do and have fruit that'll last for all eternity? It does make a difference. So in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Can get comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things by spiritual means. You see, you'll learn how to discern things when the Holy Spirit that God gave to every one of His children to discern the truth is found in the Word of God. So it can make a difference in your life. If the Word of God isn't changing your life, you're not in the Word of God. If your life is the same as it's always been, you're not walking with God. You're not walking in the light. There's a thing called hypocrisy. Another word is, it's not, you don't have the discernment. And it's called deception. If your life isn't holy, you're to be a godly individual, Christ says. I should say, Book of Timothy, he says, be ye holy for I am. What? Holy. Be ye holy. Well, I don't want nobody to call me no holy, Joe. I wouldn't mind it. Call me anything that you want. As long as it's pleasing to God. He's the one that concerns me. And that's the one that concerns you. Because the Bible says in Romans 14, every man shall give account of himself to God. That day will come. Now note what he says also down in verse 14. The natural man, the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit. In other words, he cannot know them, the lost man, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But what's the value of a Christian who does have the Holy Spirit, but does not allow the Holy Spirit to teach him the deep things of God? And that's why so many Christians are so shallow. They're so shallow because they don't know the deep truths of the Word of God that can keep them solid, keep you strong and mature all your Christian life. Do you want to stumble? Do you want to stumble? Do you want to fall? Or do you want to walk with God? And that's why he says in the last part of verse 14, because they are spiritually discerned. See, there's things of God are spiritually discerned. And then you find in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, which is exactly what it says back there in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 20. Because you have an unction, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you to teach you so you can discern all these things God wants you to know. And these things that you know is what's going to help you in your walk with God. And if you don't know them, you don't have that element of truth that can make a difference in the course of your whole life. I hope that some of this will make a little sense to you. Now, I'm going to try something I haven't done for a little while standing up. This is truth. This is truth. This hand representing you and me. And we have all sinned. And the truth is that we have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God and hell. And that's the truth. But God says that He loves us, wants us to go to heaven, and that's the truth. But God says you cannot earn eternal life. You can't work your way to heaven, and that's the truth. So we needed a Savior, and that's true. This hen represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. He came into this world because God loved us. And the Son loved the Father. So the Son came into this world because He loves us, and that's so true. He loved us so much, He took our sins and He paid for them on the cross. And that's true. He came back from the dead. That's true. He ascended into heaven. One day He's going to come back, and that's true. But you see, He says, I go to my Father to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Because God loves us and wants us to be in heaven with Him. So the Bible says, if I would believe that He did that for me, He would put this payment He made to my account, and I get to go to heaven on what Jesus Christ did for me. No tricks to it. That is so simple. And yet it's so simple that the majority of people that's ever read the Bible don't get it. You say, why? Because it's so deep. It is so deep. And this is why you and I need to remember, if you want to be deep in the Word, be a soul winner. Like this one guy says, I don't know if I want to do this certain job and go to college and learn it, because there's so many people that can, you know, in that same field. He said, well, there's always room at the top. This is the greatest thing you can ever do. There's room at the top. Because most people won't do it. You want to be different. You want to be unique. Love the Lord enough and love people enough that you want them to go to heaven and you're willing to tell them how. Wasn't that letter I read this morning, isn't that awesome? After 2 years, I didn't even know they existed. But think about the thousands that are hearing the same thing and I never hear from them. But one day we're going to get to heaven and they're going to know that's the congregation that paid for all those things on YouTube, that we heard the gospel. And they're going to come up to you and say, was you one of them? 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 You went to Calvary Community Church? And God's going to have a special section in heaven just for Calvary Community Church. You didn't know that? Now that may be a little Yankee-ology. But I like to believe. You realize that if it wasn't for the people in this ministry that give sacrificial like they do, there wouldn't be no YouTube. Because all these things that we have, everything cost. Everything cost. Nothing's free, nothing's cheap, except eternal life. It's like the water's free, it just costs to pipe it in. Let's pray, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you right now in the quietness of this moment just say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that when Christ died, I believe He died for me. And I'm going to trust Him as my Savior this morning. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. But I do want to have prayer for you. And I'm going to ask you if you'll just lift your hand very quickly and put it right back down. And by raising your hand, it just means I'm trusting Christ as my Savior this morning. If you've already done it, you'd never have to do it again. Is there anyone at all? Just raise your hand very quickly. Put it right back down and say, preacher, pray for me. Anyone at all? If you're watching on the internet, there's a little tab on the screen that says, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. I pray that you would. But let me ask you something else. Are you struggling? Are you hurting? Your Heavenly Father hasn't forgotten you. Take all your cares because He cares for you and cast them on Him. Walk with the Lord. It will be worth it all. Father, we thank you again for your blessings, for all that you do for us. We ask your blessings upon each person here and those that are watching by internet. Lord, we want to hear from people whose lives have been changed because of the message of the gospel, that they trusted you as Savior. And Father, for those who wanted to wade out it a little bit deeper, learn a little bit more. We ask your blessings upon each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.